I stared at that, I would only think of the
I don't like
rock
this.
And roller coaster. Right, from just
I don't get that.
It's
rock and roller coaster.
You're on a recording studio with Aerosmith.
Oh, now I get it.
That was it.
Yep, that's it.
Well, that's great. Oh my god! I'm not gonna lie, a bit hungover.
All right, save it for the show.
Mm-hmm. That's fine. I'm good. How are you? Are we good to go? Welcome to the Red Eye Podcast, everyone. I'm Ben Kissel. We got Tim Diamond with us. Andy Levy is here also. All right.
What's going on?
Ben, yeah. First of all, I guess we should let people know that Tom Shalhoub is not here.
Tom is not here.
They probably figured that out after a half hour of not hearing Tom Shalhoub, but why not let him know off the top?
Yeah, so whatever. So, hey, Christmas came early. Tom's not here.
You're welcome, people.
He was, what is he? He's flying in. He's going to be on the show.
Doing something.
I don't know. He's busy. He's always doing some worldwide barber shopping.
Ben, you sound a little out of sorts today.
I'm hungover.
Really?
Good Lord. I went out last night.
Have yourself a little night?
It got wild, as nights tend to do.
Uh-huh.
And one thing's led to another, and it turns out I'm married.
Really?
Yeah, that's right. Wow. I went to Vegas, and I actually married the Elvis. That marries. So that's how
really?
Charming I am. Yeah, it was amazing.
Now, did you go to Vegas with a woman planning on marrying her, or you just said, I'm going to fly to Vegas and marry someone?
No, I went there with a blow-up doll because I like to pay twice. I just like it.
Sure.
You know, it's a fun thing to do. And I showed up. I went to the casinos. I played the slot machines, which is a true story. That's what I do at casinos.
Are you serious?
And, oh, yeah, that's all I do.
That's the saddest story I've ever heard in my life.
Okay, so the joke is I went to Vegas. In reality, I just had a crazy night here in New York City. Very hangover-esque, which is fun.
You're just brushing over this slot machine.
Yeah,
thing.
Exactly.
All right.
I want to get back to that.
The slot machine.
You're
okay.
You're a grown man.
Mm-hmm.
You do not get AARP magazine.
No, I do not.
And
you don't smoke cigarettes.
No, I do not.
And you're a handsome man.
Well,
I don't know how
you
else to put this. You don't look like the kind of person who should be playing the slot machines in Vegas.
Atlantic City is going downhill. Okay. And
Donald Trump has been saying that for a long time.
Trump has been saying that. And I'm surprised you uttered his words without being forced to, with his name without being forced to. I was in Atlantic City, and what I do is I had $200, and that's my limit. And I don't spend more than that because I'm a fiscal person.
Mm-hmm.
I sit down at the slot machines. They feed you beer. Like you're just, you know, like you're the king's son. I mean, they just pump you full of Coors Lights. And there is always an elderly woman there who is, you know, either thrice divorced or widowed. So they've got a lot to say.
Uh-huh.
And they have their little jars full of coins and whatnot. I go and I put $5 in the $5 slot machines. As soon as it goes to $5.25, and you always win once.
Uh-huh.
Clock out.
Okay.
Ticket out.
Really?
I swear to God, I've done it every single time. I've never lost money.
Have you ever won money?
No. Okay. That's the great irony. But what am I doing? Getting beer for free. So I'm slowly bankrupting the casino, and that's
right.
Why Atlantic.
You're not getting it for free. You are listening to little old ladies tell you about their divorces.
Please tell me you tip the waitresses, too.
Well, I don't have a lot of money to tip with.
Are you kidding me?
Are you supposed to tip the waitresses?
You sit there and usually cocktail waitresses or whatever bring you free beer.
Right.
And you don't tip them. You don't give them a dollar coin.
I wasn't under the impression they wanted to be tipped.
Boy. No, why in the world would they want to
No waitress
money?
ever has complained about tipping.
Casinos have a very specific policy. You don't tip
the
waitstaff. They
really
get paid
not have that policy.
You have that
really
policy.
No.
That is something you made up in your own head.
No. I was okay. Either way, the service hasn't been slower. So maybe you
are an awful person.
No, there needs to be. If there is no negative ramifications for my actions, I don't know that I'm doing something wrong.
The negative ramification is called karma.
Well, no.
You are right up there with stealing soda and putting it in the water cup.
Oh my god!
You're on par with CJ.
CJ, another writer for the show Red Eye. As a matter of fact, we should get him in here soon. He is a notorious thief.
Yeah, he apparently goes to was it Panera?
He goes to Panera.
And he instead of ordering fountain soda, he asks for a cup for water,
right?
And then which you get for free, and then he fills it up with soda, and he thinks that's totally fine.
It is the stingiest thing you can steal.
It really is.
Yeah, It's, yeah. But you know, at the same time, there was recently a story, I don't think we covered it on the show, where a person was arrested for, I believe it was a felony charge of theft.
Yes.
Yep. For doing that.
For filling a water cup with soda. I thought that was a little bit extreme. I mean, you know, you imagine he goes to prison. What are you in here for? You know, embezzlement. What are you here for? Murder. What are you here? I stole soda from a Dunkin' Donuts McDonald's, rather?
It's the same thing.
No one goes for embezzlement. Come on.
No, that's true. No, but I mean, I think, you know, I mean, there should be, I understand technically it's theft, but shouldn't soda be free anyway? I say soda should be free.
Bernie Sanders over here?
Yeah. I'm the Bernie Sanders of fountain soda. I don't want kids to have free educations, but I do think they should have free Mountain Dew on demand. Mm-hmm.
I am fine with that. I would accept it, but that is a silly, silly ask.
They make the money off of the cheese. They make the money off the meat, off the bread.
What are you doing, Wisconsin? Not all money comes from cheese.
It doesn't?
No.
I don't know how else to do it. Anyway, so stealing of the soda is not nearly as bad as drinking the free Coors Lights that you're allowed to get at casinos in Atlantic City.
No, I agree. Stealing the soda, while bad, is not as bad as not tipping waitstaff.
Well, no. Maybe I do tip them. I don't have a recollection of not tipping them. I just don't recall tipping
them. You don't tip them.
Yeah, you don't tip them.
You know, I never really thought about it. In the sense, they've never
about
requested
lower
it.
People? Yeah. People that are beneath you?
No, the waiters are better than the people they serve.
I never really thought about it. These beers just keep magically appearing in front of me.
Well, you do shut your eyes, and the next thing you know,
I must be a great guy. They keep bringing me free beer.
Yeah. Well, you know, the prostitutes aren't talking to me, so I feel
probably wouldn't tip them either.
Yeah. Exactly. That's why they're not talking to you, because they know you're not giving money to anyone.
You don't tip a prostitute. You pay a prostitute a lump sum. What? I mean, we can't just be throwing on abstract numbers after an agreement.
What do you tip normally at a bar?
Oh, I'm a very big tipper. $1 per drink.
That's not a very big.
That is not very big.
That's a normal tipper.
It's a normal tipper. Yeah.
But if you don't get to say I'm a very big tipper and then say I get a dollar for a drink.
I spent $8.35 on drinks yesterday. I tipped them $3. That's a very big tip.
No, that is not a very big tip.
It's a nice tip, though.
It's a decent, acceptable tip.
That's a nice tip.
The bartender will forget about you.
Yes,
that
I don't
is a forgettable tip.
They won't forget about me. I'm the huge guy screaming at the end of the bar demanding more whiskey. They can't forget about me.
Then that is a low tip.
That's true. I was a bouncer in New York City for 3 years. I worked at this bar called Cabin, which has since closed down because it was a disease-infested hellhole, and I have no idea how it passed inspection anyway.
It was a they bar bounced in New York City. Anyone?
What's that?
They bounced people?
I was the bouncer. And no, we did not bounce anyone. But every day there was a black fella who would come in around. I don't have to qualify a race, but
apparently you do.
Yeah. Well, no, it's an audio medium, so we have to paint the picture. Uh-huh. And he was dressed very sharp, and he would give me a $20 bill every time he would come in. And I was fresh off the plane from Wisconsin, and I just thought he was super nice. I was like, wow, this guy is giving me a tip as a bouncer. I didn't know you got tips. Lo and behold, I end up thanking him so much, he realizes that I don't realize he's in the bar selling Coke, and the only reason he's tipping me is because I'm not saying anything. But in reality, I had no idea. So, I mean, I was so naive to the tipping process, and apparently I still am. Next time I go to Atlantic City, whoever the waitress or waiter is, you're getting triple tipped. So, boom.
All right.
So someone, karma will be paid back in full.
So, 3 times 0. Well,
speaking of Coke and casinos and slot machines,
Tom Shalhoub is not here.
Tom Shalhoub is not here. Penny
off
slots.
On a bender.
What is
penny
slot? How can you play slot machines?
I won $100 on a penny slot, and it just let it slowly tick up. And so it was going on for about 17 minutes, no exaggeration. About 10 minutes in, this guy comes up to me and starts offering me a bunch of drugs because he thinks I'm a high roller. And of course, you know,
he thinks you're a high roller at the penny slots?
Well, it was crystal methamphetamine or something. Okay,
I don't think he thought you were a high roller.
Yeah, there's no way that a guy at a penny slot who just hit the big jackpot of $100.
That's a huge amount of money. That's big savings. Where I'm from, $100 means something, Tim.
Where are you from, 1950?
Yeah. From Pleasantville, no. 1950.
No, that is Tom.
Yeah, that's true. We don't have our true American original here with us today, which is fine. But anyway, I do love the casino games.
Do you play the lottery too? Like what?
No, I don't. I think the lottery, this is my personal stance on the lottery. It is a complete and utter scam by the government, and it should have never been taken over by states. It should be kept to the mafia, kept to the mobs.
Yes, yes, absolutely. No,
there is a very good argument for
that. Yeah, it's unbelievable. And all the
better odds, higher payouts.
Yeah.
They in Williamsburg, Brooklyn,
plus,
where I live.
Running numbers just sounds better than, you know, lotto.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And who would you want, the New York Lottery, or would you want, like, Jimmy the Greek?
Well, yeah, exactly.
You know? You want a fun nickname for your guy.
Right. Yeah, I don't want Cuomo. Cuomo, giving me the payout. I want somebody who has blood on his hands.
Yeah.
Well,
I want somebody with
Cuomo.
I want somebody with an Italian name.
Yeah, exactly. There was a
Jimmy two times.
It's always two times with Jimmy, isn't
it? I love the two times.
I know, but what did he do twice? Why is it?
He did everything twice.
That's what he does,
yeah,
huh?
Yeah.
Hmm.
Yeah, see, if you didn't pay, you would find out what the two times is.
You always got to pay.
You got to.
Yeah. It would be kind of fun to be muscle for the mob back then. What a hell of a job that must have been. You know? Everyone was intimidated by it. You were forced to be respected.
Right.
Yeah, but then you did have to hurt a lot of people.
You did, and you ended up dead or in prison a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It always comes back to you. But there was an off-track betting location in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, when I first got there, and I never went. And I'm really sad because it's since
it's gone.
Yeah, it's way gone.
Yeah.
And I really missed that. You know, that I was in Times Square last night. Tim and I went out after the show, and my God, it's just so much. You know, I mean, Andy, you remember like somewhat older New York, right?
Yeah.
Was it ever cool in Times Square or Williamsburg, Brooklyn?
It depends what you mean by cool.
Like dangerous.
Oh, yeah.
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 I want that. I mean, when was the last time you felt scared walking down the street here?
I know, right? I miss that.
I have often felt scared.
Well, you have like phobias.
I'm a very weak person.
Yeah, you have like...
I get frightened easily.
When was the last time you were frightened, Tim?
Probably standing next to you.
Well, that was so today.
I can't even really think of the last time.
Yeah, New York in the 1980s was a lot different.
Yeah, I miss that.
Yeah, you didn't set foot in Hell's Kitchen.
Right.
Like you didn't matter what time of day it was, didn't matter what what color, what gender you were.
Right.
If you weren't the Westies, if you weren't you didn't go there.
So that's like pre-Daredevil era, right?
It seems like that's sort of what Daredevil is trying to recreate.
Yeah.
And pretend that that's how it's like now, and it's not just all restaurants and bars.
Yeah. And the place, what the hell is it? Hogs and Heifers.
Yeah.
Hogs and Heifers, which is the movie that Coyote Ugly was based on, the bar that the movie Coyote Ugly was based on. But Hogs and Heifers wasn't a good enough name, so they went with Coyote Ugly.
Yeah.
And a little pro tip, if you come to visit New York City and you happen to be in the East Village and you see the Coyote Ugly bar, don't go in unless you really want to smell what vomit tastes like or what living inside of a sow would be. It is disgusting. But, I mean, there must have been people in Hell's Kitchen, right? So who?
Yeah, the people that lived there.
And that's it.
All I know is we knew not to go into Hell's Kitchen.
Man, is there any area right now in New York City that we can't go to?
There's a bunch that you can't go to.
Why?
Just for various reasons.
Oh, like the wealthy places that want tips?
500 feet in front of the school.
Among those, yeah.
We were discussing in New York, you have to have a child with you at all times to be at a playground. And we had one fun writer's meeting, and I thought this was a funny little joke, discussing how our senior producer was kicked out of a playground because he was reading a book alone.
Right.
And technically, I think that makes him, a pedophile would be around children, right? They would have kids around them if they were a good pedophile. So I think the law has a major flaw in it, in that pedophiles are innately going to have children with them at the playground. So how are you, it's really the person alone that you should want at the playground.
Yeah, that makes absolutely no sense. It made no sense when you said it at the writers' meeting, and it makes no sense now.
Yep, moving on.
Still not making sense.
I think it makes sense.
I was, a bunch of years ago, I was, my eldest niece was, I don't remember how old she was, but she was learning how to ride a bike.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was over at my sister's once, and my niece was like, you know, Uncle Andy, can you help me? And so we went out with the bike and whatever, and we were out on the street, like a couple blocks from our home, and this car slows down. And this woman rolls down her window and starts talking to my niece, asking her questions like, do you live around here? And I realized she wants to make sure that I'm not kidnapping this girl.
Oh, right, right, right.
And it, but it's so it's a fine line between being offended,
yeah,
and thinking, ah, good for you for checking, you know, because you never know.
How
but
are
I
you
went,
sure?
I went with the offended.
Yeah,
I,
yeah, you should.
Yeah,
on a slightly similar note, I was living.
So
with...
I pulled out a gun and shot her.
Oh, okay, good, good.
And but nothing ever really happened.
That's fine. Well,
it's all right, no, yeah, that's your right.
You know, you grew up in the 80s here in New York.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah, I did it Hell's Kitchen style.
That's perfect. On a slightly similar note, I was living with a girl and I was doing our laundry together. And I was pulling her underwear out of the dryer. And this woman thought for sure I was just stealing women's panties. And she confronted me and she was very loud about it. And I was livid with her because, I mean, even... If that, even if I was, it is. I mean,
it's
obviously,
even
that's
if you weren't, it's none of her business.
It's none of her business. But of course, I wasn't. I was like, I live with my girlfriend, and I had to convince her.
But you can't. You can't win in that situation because you're yelling in public.
Right, and I'm holding a woman's panties, and she's yelling that I'm stealing women's panties. Right. I mean, the whole scene was absolutely awful. Men are always just presumed guilty for doing something completely nefarious. No, Tim, you look.
I have at various times looked very criminal.
Yes.
That is true. Once I grew out my depression beard, that was guaranteed, random security. That every single time at the airport, they were like, yep, you.
For those who don't know what Tim looks like, there are a lot of times when he is mistaken for Heisenberg on Breaking Bad.
Yes, I can see that.
I like to go with Anthony Edwards from ER treating his own anorexia.
No, I can see that, yeah. Mm-hmm. No, that works.
Where is what is the correlation between the beard and the depression?
Because it's the best. You don't do anything.
Oh, I see.
It is a personification of your laziness.
Right, and you just wear it on your face like a proud shroud.
Oh, yeah. Well, not exactly proud. No, it's weird. Once you grow, I mean, any guy who has a beard grows it for the same reason because other people can't. Like that, you just want something that you can show, especially if you're balding.
Yeah.
You just want to rub it in people's faces and be like, ha, I can do this.
Yeah, the bald guy with a beard is a quite interesting phenomenon. They're very proud of their beard.
Well, they got to be proud of something.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
No, when you have – when I had once around like you get like 3 months into a beard, random people will just talk to you. Like, no women ever liked it.
It's because they think you're homeless.
No. Like, cops and firefighters and like real heroes would be like – that is a great beard. Just randomly while I was walking down the street. And check out this guy's beard. Look at it. Look at it. Guys, come here. Look at this guy's beard.
And it seems to be professions that aren't where the people aren't allowed to have the beard. Yeah. I mean, if you're a firefighter and you have a beard, you can't go into a burning building. That goes right up. You're dead. Beards are dangerous for firefighters.
Way to bring it down, man.
Oh, I'm not bringing it down. I'm talking about bearded firemen. You can imagine the world that we'd live in if firemen had beards. That's disgusting.
I
like 1980s New York.
I got the impression that everyone was like, oh, I wish I could give up like you, but I have self-esteem and a girlfriend, and I just can't commit to that.
When did this...
It's like it's like watching Seinfeld and looking at George Costanza and going, you got to give it up for him.
Yeah. Yeah, he commits.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He is who he is, and he's all about it.
Yeah, that's true. He does. Seinfeld, huh?
You guys don't have beards.
No, I can't.
Why don't you have beards, huh?
I can get a beard. I'm already masculine enough.
Yeah, I don't feel the need to compensate.
No.
You know?
I mean, we're all crushingly depressed in our own right, but I just feel like the beard blanket isn't necessarily...
But no one can tell. No one can tell. It's not on your face.
Yeah, well,
walk around with a smile. How are people going to know you're depressed?
Yeah, people can tell with me.
Yeah, well, you have sad eyes. Andy.
Yes, I do.
Yeah,
I do. Yes, but they've seen a lot, Ben.
Yeah, I can tell. A lot of video games.
Yes.
Yeah. Things like that.
A lot of Kojak.
Did you catch up on Kojak?
Kojak. It's such a good show. Last night's was so good.
What happened?
It doesn't even matter. The mafia. Yeah. Don Cheech was not happy. Some of his. Some of the members of his family were being kidnapped by the Chinese.
Mm.
And so there was a little gang war going on, but Kojak set him straight.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, it was part two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Which
did
is nice.
You have to wait a whole day?
I did. Yeah, it was like,
wow.
It was almost like old school where you had to wait a whole week.
Yeah.
But no, I had to wait a whole day.
You can't binge it.
And then the thing is, like, I was curious because sometimes some of these channels will run... Like, I'm not saying I ever watch NCIS marathons on USA, but I've talked to people who have, and sometimes they don't run the episodes in order.
Yeah.
Like on a, you know, like on a Tuesday or say a Saturday or whatever, just all day they play. So, which is fine, like whatever, except that sometimes they'll show an episode that ends in a cliffhanger, and then the next episode is from like 2 years later or 6 months earlier or whatever, and they never show the part two. So I was worried. I was
that they weren't going to show part two.
Yeah, and then when it came on last night, when I flipped over after watching Jag.
Oh my God!
Well, it was either Jag or Rockford. I'd go back.
We wanted you to come out. We invited you out to the bar last night.
I have so much stuff going on right
now.
Do
you? It sounds like you have.
I actually do. What was I saying?
So you were watching Kojak after you watched Jag, and I don't know which one is worse.
First of all, they're both fantastic. When I flipped over to Kojak, and they started with the scenes from the last nights, and you have never seen me happier.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it's those little things,
I guess.
You
don't have to add the IER.
True.
Yeah.
True.
Well, this is a little known fact, Tim. If you watch an NCIS marathon, your beard grows in double time.
Okay. True. So, first of all, I've watched two seasons of How I Met Your Mother in one day. So don't tell me about marathons.
I'm all for the binge watching.
I hope it wasn't the last season.
No.
Okay.
What's the difference? There is no difference in the sitcom season.
Totally difference. Totally. The last season of How I Met Your Mother was
first season's fantastic.
Great.
Did they adopt an alien or something? I mean, what happened?
Pretty much. But one of the bad marathons are because I would always do we would do Law and Order marathons with my family, and when they have a themed marathon.
Mm-hmm.
And they had one where it's like the guest star did it, and you knew who the killer was every single episode because you knew it was the guest star. It's like, oh, there's Henry Winkler. Guess he's going to murder someone.
John Stamos, most likely.
Yeah.
Speaking of John Stamos, Dave Coulier will be on the show coming up in the future.
Wait, seriously?
Yeah. He's going to be on.
On the podcast?
No. Well, maybe on the podcast, but
we could get him on the podcast.
I think we could probably get him. Maybe he's busy.
Wait, so he's coming on Red Eye?
Yes, he is coming
I did
on
not
Red.
Know that.
I think Monday.
Yes, he is.
Oh, wow.
I think. I'm not sure. Don't quote me on that.
All right.
Yes, he is. Great stand-up comedian and former lover of Alanis Morissette.
Allegedly.
No, that's totally true, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't think you should let her go.
No, the album is alleged. That's where the allegedly.
What did you guys think about that whole Margaret Cho
just
Seinfeld
awful.
Thing?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
No?
Yeah.
It was.
I have no clue. I heard you mention it. Last night, and then ignored the rest of the conversation.
Why'd you ignore it?
Because I knew you were going to talk about it now.
Margaret Cho freaked out on stage at the Stress Factory. She kept on, yelled at a bunch of white dudes for them having a bunch of privilege and whatnot, even though obviously she's the one on stage, which is the irony is too much to even discuss. And so she really was a Michael Richards moment. You recall Michael Richards having his racist meltdown at the Laugh Factory in Los Angeles 10 years ago. He's still reeling from it.
Yeah.
But Margaret, because she is a bit more of a protected class, was able to get on a web series by Jerry Seinfeld, Comedians in Cars Getting Comedy. So he brought her back
coffee,
to the
staff.
Getting coffee, yeah. Getting comedy in Show's case. That would be, might be beneficial. But getting coffee. And so she went back to the Stress Factory and they filmed the whole set. Anyway, you guys don't know anything about it, so the conversation ends here. But anyway, that's
the story. I don't understand. What did she do wrong?
She had a total meltdown, and she just screamed at everyone. I mean, the whole point of a stand-up comedian would theoretically to be to invoke laughter, and she invoked anger and people
agree.
Walking
I think the point of doing stand-up comedy is to teach people valuable lessons.
What valuable lessons? About how women drive like this and guys drive like that?
No, mostly about to teach people valuable lessons about their privilege and how they should recognize it.
Oh, my God, Andy.
That is the point of comedy.
That is not the point
of
comedy.
That is absolutely the point of comedy. That is the only point of comedy.
Howie Mandel is the wealthiest comedian of all time, and he put a rubber glove on his head for 10 years.
See, that's not – to me, making people laugh, that's not comedy.
Yep.
Now you're just trying to bother me. It's unbelievable. Getting me aggravated, that's
I've been
comedy.
Trying to do that this whole half hour.
Oh, have you?
Yeah.
You'd
he
be
just
amazed.
Wants to hear you say fee-fi-fo-fum.
No. My borderline autism keeps me from realizing what you're trying
I'm
to do.
I'm just picturing you I at the slot machines.
Please do.
Just being one of those people. You just, like, feeding and pushing. Do you even pull the lever or is it just push button?
Oh, I always go to the lever. Yes.
Okay. Sorry, did I say it wrong?
Yeah, lever sounds like a cleaver, and which would be actually a great lever. if it was a cleaver. But anyway, yes, of course.
And you just sit there over and over. You put a token in.
No, you don't use tokens. This is the subway system from 1991.
I'm like Bernie Sanders.
Yeah, exactly. No, you put in $5 in the $5 slots or a penny slot. Okay. You can put in a dollar or theoretically a penny, but you're not going to get a lot of lines.
So you're getting
that way.
Even less exercise than in the old days where at least you had to move one arm to put the coins in.
I'm not going to Lucille Roberts.
You put a $5 bill in, and that gives you one pull of the lever or like five
pulls.
No,
they don't pull
lever?
Anymore.
No, you still pull. You still pull, what? But no, it is a computer program inside of it. I mean, it's not as organic as the old Western saloons.
Right. It's the buttons, right?
You can have three buttons. You can have five buttons, but I always pull the lever.
Okay, so my point is, so you will sit at and stare at this machine for hours just pulling a lever.
Winning.
Over and over.
Just
you're not
winning.
You say I asked you if you ever have won money. You said no.
Yep. No, I have broke even. I've gotten
broke
free
not
beer.
Not winning.
It is if you take into account the free beer. I don't understand. I'm getting things for free.
And you're not tipping waitstaff.
Yeah, so I'm saving
money. So you're
money.
Stealing.
So I'm fiscally conservative.
Basically, if you
socially
ever,
liberal.
If you ever start tipping the waitresses the way you should be,
yeah.
You will leave there having paid the amount you would have paid to buy a 12-pack. So you're breaking even.
Yep.
That's what I'm saying. I'm breaking even, but
that's
I'm also
not winning.
Which is fine.
I'm also winning.
But you're not winning. You're breaking
you're
even.
No, because if you go to a casino and if you walk into a casino with $200 and you leave with $200, you've won. Everyone loses. But if you don't lose, you win.
You haven't won. You've broken even.
Yes, but by casino standards, you've won because the casino is upset. You leave.
The casino is never upset.
The casino. I'll get the casino upset.
The casino just rake money.
Where did all the Coors Light go? Hey, welcome. They went down my gullet. And then next thing you know, Atlantic City is going through what it's going through right now, and the boardwalk is going to be dug up.
And that's because people like you didn't tip. How long will you sit at a slot machine?
Hours. Hours.
Really?
Yes. My friends go around. They play they do poker.
Wow.
And they play craps, and which I think is a terrible name. And they do the roulette, which I can't
roulette
put my faith in a ball.
Roulette is dumber than the slot machines.
Thank you.
It's about the only thing that is, but it is dumber than the slot
machines.
No, it's
not. Well, I mean,
no, it is.
Better odds.
It's just dumb because it's
better odds, and there's people involved,
and I'm
not just a sad screen and a cigarette slowly burning down.
That's why it's worse, though.
No, yeah, exactly. The slot is there's a solitude to it, and if you want to speak, all you have to do is look left and be like, "So how is how's the catheter?"
Right.
You know, it's nice.
Is that usually your opening line?
Yeah. Can I squeeze the bag? I just call it her little Gatorade pouch.
Oh my god!
God knows. No, the slots are way underrated. I'm so pro slot machine, it's ridiculous. And if you ever go to the casinos with me, let's just hang out and have a nice time. We don't have to be running around trying to get women and all of these things that cause trouble.
I agree with that, but I'll be at the blackjack table.
Yeah, but then you're not a spy. You know, I feel like these card games.
First of all, you don't know that I'm not a spy.
That's true.
You could be a very good spy.
Could be one of the better spies.
Yeah.
All right. Then you're allowed at the blackjack table. Uh-huh. If you're suspected to be a spy or a spy.
But blackjack's not a spy. Like, you know, what is it? Baccarat is the James Bond game, I think.
All right. Well, let us know on Twitter what you guys think about the slot machine strategy, because I think I've cracked
the code.
Don't play slot machines.
Don't let me know
ever.
On Twitter.
Yeah. Don't let
ever.
Don't at me. You know that. That's my rule.
You can at me. That's completely fine.
I'm kidding, by the way. I mean, I'm not. Don't at me, but I don't want to be a jerk about it. Don't at me.
You're running in circles here.
I know.
I'm confused.
I know.
But let me know what you think about the slot machine strategy, because I really think we're onto something, and we should go down to Atlantic City. There's a bus that leaves out of Williamsburg. Tim and I are going to be on it. Andy takes a jet, because that's just how he does, because he's a blackjack player, so they get treated a little bit better than us bus boys. But that's fine.
I'm not taking the bus.
You're not going to take – I'm taking the bus alone.
I'm not taking the bus. Well, you can take the bus. I've seen that How I Met Your Mother episode.
Oh, good God.
The train is not bad. The express – the Amtrak train that goes to Atlantic City?
Yeah.
I think it's Amtrak.
Bad.
Is not bad, yeah.
All right. So we'll take the Amtrak. We'll figure this out on Twitter. Let's all go together, and we'll slowly bankrupt Atlantic City worse than it's currently being bankrupt.
One Coors Light at a time.
Oh, man.
With your stupid strategy at a losing game.
All right, everyone. That's this week's Red Eye podcast. That's Andy Levy, Tim Diamond. I'm Ben Kissel. Tom Shalhoub will be back with us next week. And we'll talk to you soon.